all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514 720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Very good evening, 6:30 on a Thursday evening, and the Legends are back. And it's nice of Sharpie to join us for once. He's dumped the FA Cup draw.
Yeah, I've just thought out.
So Southport Fleetwood was your task on Monday night. Did the draw go okay? Did you do it better than Rushy? Is the basic answer. Do you remember Rushy doing the draw? We had a good laugh about that on air, didn't we?
We talked about that as well. And the biggest thing I was worrying about was the number 6 ball and the number 9 ball. I'm thinking, don't get it wrong. And we had two dummy runs before. And I got both. I got the 6 and the 9 ball. And the first time I went, oh, help. But the third time, I got it again. But good gym.
Did they have a little land underneath?
They have the bottom. You don't know if it was the top or the bottom kind of thing. So it was easy enough. But the game wasn't great. 0-0, but it was blooming freezing. So I've just a bit thawed out.
So you did the draw pitch side, didn't you?
No, done the draw inside and won the lounges then. Went out and obviously watched the game and done before halftime and after the game.
Because I did say last week, I was about to say before you stopped me, that you hadn't done the draw. Yeah. So I didn't know it was a secret or anything. You were asked to do the draw as well with it. You could have done it together because Jim Beglin did it with you, didn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't want to get cold, basically.
Oh, it was a long day.
I was loyal to Radio City.
But it was good meeting
Not that you paid me more.
Mickey Mellon, speaking to him, you know, obviously, really good talking to him and his chances. They've got Chester this weekend.
Is it tomorrow night? I'm not sure. I think so. Dave, have a look at that. I think that's tomorrow night.
I think so.
Well, Sean Garnett's coming on the show tomorrow morning. And I thought it was tomorrow night.
Are you sure it's tomorrow night? Probably Scotland.
I don't know. Maybe Dave will have a look at that.
I think it'll be Saturday.
We'll dig that one out.
Saturday morning, maybe.
So you did the FA Cup draw this week. You were at the Liverpool Ladies Awards, weren't you?
Yes. It was a good night, Enjoyed it. It was a good laugh. Yeah, really. It was good, done really well. It was in the chemistry lounge in around.
In the new stand, yeah?
New stand,
celebration at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was good. Young team, looking forward to next year. Mm. You know, they've built the foundations this year. They hope and, you know, go forward next year. But, nice girls, it was really good to do it.
Okay, well done to everyone who was involved. Nice to have our A-team back tonight. Ozzy was great the other night, but I'm sure tonight as well, the calls might be more sort of directed Sharpie's way.
There's been all sorts going on.
But very quickly, I'm just going to ask you
Lukaku
something. I'm just going to ask. Thanks, Aldo. you sit back. Liverpool ladies full-time?
Part-time?
Yeah.
They're full-time.
They are full-time.
Absolutely. Mm. They put their full efforts into it.
Right, okay.
As Man
They've
City.
They put the full efforts into the dress wear, by the way, because they did look very, very nice. They did look very well.
I hope you commented to each and every one of them, John.
You just say, you know, they look very well. They presented themselves very nicely.
Had to put his tongue back in first.
Right, did we find out Tranmere Friday or Saturday? Oh, it's Saturday, 3 o'clock.
Oh, there Steve, look.
Yeah, good crowd. You'll be seeing how the crowds are going and rising, kind of thing.
Yeah.
5,000 and 6,000.
They kept it in and around the 5,000 mark. Good. And obviously, with it being Chester, they'll have it could be 7,000 there.
Yeah, good.
You know, which is great for the club.
Yeah.
Right, amongst the talking points this week, we've got Roy Keane and Ronald Koeman on Romelu Lukaku. And I couldn't really find a Liverpool talking point.
Have you got anything on your head? Everyone's resting. No, they're all right, Steve. You know, tonight we should, you know, go with Sharpies. he was off on Monday. Give him a little bit more, a few more calls, Sharpie lads.
All right, which one do you want to start with? Romelu Lukaku. So Ronald Koeman says the striker should leave is some of the headlines. But I think what's really sort of grated with some Everton fans, so he's done an interview where someone's asked him about Romelu and he said his potential is greater and higher than Everton as a final destination, he's told a Belgian newspaper. Has Ronald made a cock up here?
It's really a difficult one.
Do you want to hear that about your own player?
Fans won't want to hear it. But what he's saying is, from an outsider point of view, this lad has so much talent. The best clubs in the world, you know, which Coutinho is getting, you know, attracted to, apparently, you know, a Barcelona, a Madrid. They're the ones everyone wants to go to. So if they want to go there, you can't stop them. That's what he's basically trying to say. And if he really wants to be the best, he could end up there, I think.
He's been brutally honest. And you should. Koeman is Koeman. We've said that before. Very blunt. Dutch style about him, he just says it how it is, you know. And I think, and I agree with the other side as well, that the Everton fans don't want to hear that, but I just think that that's the way he is. And I know, but he's been brutally honest. He's been brutally honest. Mm. It's as simple as that. It's like Liverpool with Suarez. Listen, if you're a top player and you're a top player and Lukaku's goal record and everything else has got the potential to be one of the best goal scorers. Maybe not the best player, but one of the best goal scorers. So if that's the case, he's going to go to a Barcelona or a Real Madrid or a Champions League team. And it's up to Everton to try and get into the situation where he's in the Champions League and they can offer him that. But if they can't, he's going to move there. It's,
well, the implication is it doesn't matter if they're in the Champions League.
No, but I'm just saying,
but he wants
to play in the Champions League. You've got to understand what the lad's going to do. And listen, we all want Romelu Lukaku to stay at Everton. Of course we do. But we're not daft. I think we're, and that's the supporters. They're not daft. They know that if somebody, a bigger club comes in, he's going to move. We know that for a fact. That's a fact. But what I'm saying is, don't want the fact of the manager saying it. But yeah. I just think the way they've twisted it round a little bit, the manager has been brutally honest and saying if he keeps improving, he won't stay at Everton. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
The media can twist it around. You would like to know exactly what he said. Imagine if I got caught at the wrong moment, because you don't want your managers to think. You want them to think it, but not to say it. Mm. But you know, but Sharpie's right. He's been brutally honest. But should he have said it? Should he not have said it?
Well, I don't think he's twisted this statement. If Romelu was to play at Everton until the end of his career, I know he has left something behind.
Well, that's honest because he's got the potential.
Well, it's honest, but actually...
He's been brutally honest. Mm. But what I'm saying, I know what they're saying, the fans don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is this boy's got so much talent, he's got so much ability, that it'd be a crying shame if he didn't be in World Cup finals and Champions League finals and everything. That's what he's saying. Yeah. That's basically what he's saying. He's got so much talent that he can be what he wants to be.
But what he should say to the lad himself and not let it open to the press, because Everton fans will look at that as a bit of a slight, even though we know where he's coming from, don't we?
He said it to the boys. I think he's had a conversation with Lukaku. You know, it's up to you, can be what you want to be. You know, and I think basically the way it's been twisted and reported and everything else, but basically I can understand the fans' frustration, but I think he's been brutally honest.
Well, it's great being brutally honest, but let's turn it on its head. And if the player himself was brutally honest, would Ronald Koeman be as admiring of the player to be as brutally honest? So if Romelu came out and said, well, look, my ambitions are higher than Everton, would that be acceptable?
Well, what I would say to him is the simple fact being he's got a contract to me. He signed that contract and he's happy to sign a contract for 5 years, whatever, 4 years, whatever. There comes a time when they have to sit down and say, right, where are we going? It looks as if it was going to be in the summer, but he didn't particularly have a great Euros, Romelu Lukaku, so wasn't as much interested. But if he continues to score goals, say he scores 30 goals this season, the offers will come again. You know, so Romelu Lukaku has said that he wants to go and play in a Champions League side. He said that himself, so
he got absolutely bashed for saying it at the time.
We know that, but listen, that's players. The modern day player has changed. In our day, John was happy to play for Liverpool. Mm. That was his team and he wanted to play there all the time. I was happy to play for Everton. Those times have changed. Yeah. Those times have changed. Champions League's changed all that.
But I still think fans demand loyalty from players and managers.
They do.
I still don't think they want to hear it, do they?
How many players get testimonials now?
They want it.
How many players get testimonials?
Oh, gosh, well, not that many, do they?
They don't need them now. Yeah, to be fair, the ones who get a gift to charity,
what I'm saying is the times you're getting players who stay in clubs 10 years is very, very rare now. Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, or the last Leon Osman kind of thing. That won't happen nowadays. Yeah. I'll be really, really surprised if there's many testimonials kicking about.
Unless you said before, someone's a diehard blue or diehard red, then you know that becomes possible. But you know, when you see Barcelona and you see Madrid and the cities and what it's all about, you know, other people, other players will come here and they're the lights for them. They're the stars, aren't they, where they want to go?
Well, they are, but you still want you to believe your player has your club at heart.
Absolutely.
And we had it with Suarez, and we commentated for another year on Luis Suarez.
Absolutely.
And we never once said, well, really, he wants to be somewhere else. We just watched and went,
you're enjoying while he's there because, you know, at the end of the day, if they're that good, that's where players want to be, Steve.
But he didn't come out and say it. Neither did his manager. Right, Dave was so incensed, our producer. He did a poll on his Twitter. Right, so this is the results of his poll.
Has he got nothing better to do with his team?
300 people responded to his poll. 80% said it was a true statement by Ronald Koeman, but an unnecessary statement by Ronald Koeman.
Well, it was unnecessary, because, again, we don't know. You're abroad there and you get thrown a question. And he's just throwaway line or whatever, and then it gets twisted and everything else. If he hadn't asked the question, he wouldn't answer it.
Do you like the way we've thrown Sharpie in the fire pit tonight? let's go to the phone line. Take our first call. It's Mike who's in Prescott. Welcome to the Legends, Mike.
Evening, chap. You okay?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Graham. Nothing ever goes easy for Everton at the moment.
Tell me about it.
If it's 1 minute Roy Keane, next minute it's... My own opinion on it is it's my own opinion. I think it's good for what Koeman said. Probably not the best thing to say in total, but what he's trying to do, in my opinion, is big up this kid.
Yeah.
This kid can be world class now. What he's trying to do is big up so the players around him can appreciate what we've actually got. And I just don't think they are appreciating what we've got at the moment. And it's like when there was a video clip of obviously Koeman saying he was interested in Matter and all the fans jumped on that. Did that materialise? No, it didn't.
No.
I just think sometimes you need to take what the manager says with a pinch of salt. How much did we listen to what Martinez said? We all listened to what Martinez said. Look where he is now. Because he was bigging up everything he was doing. I just think fans need just to take a bit of a chill and just relax and
Mike, you're
trust him what he's doing.
Yeah, but you look at how many, all the plaudits he was getting, but oh, look how honest he is. You know, he's not like Martinez. He doesn't beat around the bush. He goes straight to it and says, we've been rubbish or this is not good enough and that. So he's come out with a statement now. And listen, whether he should have done it or shouldn't have, I just think that, as you quite like said, he's bigging the player up. You know, it's a really difficult one. I can see both sides of the argument, but for me, looking at it, if I'm looking from the outside, I'm not expecting Lukaku to stay at Everton for the next 4 or 5 years. If I'm brutally honest, you know, and I think he's basically saying the same as what I think, and probably what you think, and the majority of supporters think as well. We'd love him to stay, but we're not daft. We know how football works nowadays, and you know what he said, he's getting pillared for, but I think he's, again, as I said before, I think he shoots from the hip, and that's what he says.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have him like that, shooting from the hip and speaking the truth rather than hiding behind the truth.
Yeah, and I think obviously he's had a word with Lukaku in the summer, and they've discussed what they think of each other and what Lukaku's plans are. Listen, Lukaku's not going to come into a season and not do well. You know, so it's not making the player perform any worse kind of thing. He's wanting the boy to fulfil his potential and be the best he possibly can, because if he is, it's beneficial to Everton.
I tell you what, I was impressed with Graham. Now, obviously, he come out and made that statement. Well, obviously, people disagree or will agree. But what I was pleased with, Dwayne Scherr, he jumped right on it straight away. Obviously, no disrespect to Bill, and I think, obviously, Bill's obviously done a great job for the club, but I was pleased with Wayne Scherr, because at the end of the day, he had to back him, didn't he, really? He couldn't come out and slag him off and say he shouldn't be saying things like that. So I think going forward, I think taking all the positives together, the club is going in the right direction. I think people just need to jump on that train and believe in what he's doing, what Scherr is doing. Because I still see on social media, people are calling Scherr a fraud. I'm just thinking, gee, I tell you what, it's hard being an Evertonian sometimes. But I strongly believe we're going the right way and we've got the right man. So...
Yeah, I hope you're right, Mike, and hope we can enjoy Lukaku for a few more seasons.
Nice comments. Thank you very much indeed, Mike. Have a great night. He mentioned there Roy Keane. So Roy made these comments. I'll just play a little bit of this now.
Oh,
so
you're loving this, aren't you?
Just looking for something to talk about tonight.
He's loving this.
John, am I loving this? No, John's loving this. We're just looking for interesting debating points. So Roy Keane made a statement about Everton's sort of injury list whenever an international comes around.
What about Liverpool's new sponsors? That's a talking point. Hey.
Do you want me to leave this to the next section of the show?
Go on.
You go. Is Roy laying it into Everton?
We've had a problem previously with Martinez. I think he was slightly over the top every time we felt the Everton players were turning up. And it's not criticism of the players. This is more from the Everton and their staff, that they're always carrying knocks. And I always felt the Everton players were going to like turn up on crutches or crawling into the hotel door. I know it looks like we're probably going to have that issue again with Koeman. Hopefully not. Maybe Everton, I think, is a football club. I'm not sure when the last time they won a trophy. I think it was a good number of years ago. Maybe this overloading players and players playing lots of games is a good thing. That means your club's been successful and lads are playing week in, week out, playing midweek games. But Everton, they don't play any European football. I think they're out of the League Cup. I think Norwich beat them at Goodison. So maybe Everton as a club need to, and it's a brilliant football club, maybe their players need to toughen up a little bit. And maybe they need to look at their own training schedule. So, Koeman's opinions, honestly, there's no issues with me. I couldn't care less, to be honest with you.
So Koeman said a little bit too much about Romelu, but Roy's probably that's said typical, just a little bit too much, hasn't he?
That's typical Roy. You know, that he comes out fighting, doesn't he? The only thing, there was a real good piece in the Daily Mirror this morning for our friend Brian Reid. You know, he had a bright pop at Roy saying he apparently kept Dwight York back at Sunderland from travelling. And also, the last time Everton won a trophy was against Man United 1-0, in which Roy was in the opposite side. You know, so he's missed out on two there that he got pelted by Brian Reid for in this morning's paper. But Roy, that's the way he is. You know, he comes out fighting and he gets aggressive and he can do it with his tongue or whatever. But you know,
he should know better because he's been a manager himself, you know, and he knows what it's like with players and getting called away for international duties and everything else. And he wouldn't have been saying, "Oh, you've got to go if they've got an injury, go to Ireland or go to Scotland or England." So the shoe's on the other foot. Now he's playing, or he's involved in international, he's got that hat on.
He says it's a recurrent thing, right? Well, we'll have more on that in a moment or two. We'll take an ad break. Loads more of your calls to come. 01514720967. We'll talk about Adam Lallana, who'll be involved for England tomorrow night. And of course, the boss, Gareth Southgate, says England should emulate what Liverpool do at Anfield. So more in a moment or two. 01514720967. It's the Legends.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
9:07. I see the Christmas lights are on out there. The big switch on happened tonight. The boys were having a little peek out. You've still got a bit of Christmas spirit about both of you, haven't you? You both went.
We will have a new tickets out for our Christmas drink. You missed out last year.
We did. That's two. Was it two?
Double bubble.
Two nights.
Dave was the social secretary. He let us all down at the end of the day. He should have been organising a venue. All collapsed. And do you remember the days where they used to turn the Christmas lights on and they'd get like a pop band and like a former player?
Yeah.
So like you guys would be on the stage, wouldn't you?
I'd never been asked, to be fair.
Did you not do
not in Liverpool. I've done it in other places, but not here now.
Why don't they do it here now?
Oh, I don't know. That was just the good old days, wasn't it?
They get someone. They get a celeb, don't they, I think, to do it. I'm pretty sure they get a celeb.
We need to campaign for the Legends lights, which on the boys to turn on the...
We should have lights
Christmas.
All
I think
the way
Dave
up here,
Downey
Steve.
Should do it.
Dave Downey should switch on the lights and organise our party as well.
Doesn't do anything else.
Right. Did you want to add anything about Roy Keane before we went to the break? Because I had to go
I just said to you that, you know, he's got that cap on now. He's got the Irish cap on now. But when he was probably manager at Ipswich and Sunderland, he would have the club hat on. So it's easy enough to say these things. Listen, we said it last week, you know, when I talked about players going for international duty. If you haven't played for your club, I don't think you should go and play for your country. And I know it's a ruling now with FIFA and everything else, but I think you've got to prove your fitness first at your club before you can go on international duty.
Right, we'll talk England-Scotland in a moment or two. Let's do some positives, some thumbs up from this week. What are we happy about?
Well, obviously the big world title fight at the weekend, Steve Smith. Lovely lad, Steve. All the very, very best. The Monte Carlo of all places. That's a place to celebrate. Hopefully it's a place that he'll be celebrating in with his family.
It's his second attempt at a world title belt. Didn't happen in America earlier this year. But great brothers. And I just wonder whether all four could hold a world title belt.
Just what dreams are made of, innit? And coming from Liverpool would be fantastic. Good fighter, so's it, obviously. But... yeah, we all wish him the best, don't we?
Well, Stephen Smith down in Monte Carlo to fight this lovely. Week. What about you, Sharpie?
No, it was really difficult kind of thing, but I'd say thumbs up to the FA Cup going over to Southport the other night and just to see what it means to the non-league clubs, you know, and the smaller clubs, how much of an interest there is, you know, the fans waiting patiently to see where they draw in the next round, you know, the Shrewsbury awaits the winners away from home. But just to see that, the fans supporting the local clubs, you know, and it's not all about 60,000 in seater stadiums and everything else. Good turnout at Southport. They got behind the team, so it's not dying yet. It's still there.
Yeah, it's all about the second round, isn't it? Just getting a draw in the second round and being able to get in that third round, though. Because for me, that is the pick of all the draws. It always has been. That's when the little teams want to make a few bob by meeting the big team. The dreams are made, aren't they? And for me, it doesn't matter about anything after that. The third round door is always special.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we drew Southport away. If they win, they go to Shrewsbury. You know, that's again another chance here to spring. They're not doing so well, but obviously they've got to get through Fleetwood. I think Fleetwood will start favourites. But it was great just to go. The draw was done in one of the little lounges. Charlie Clapham was a fantastic host, the chairman of Southport. So it was a great night for everybody there.
Yeah, you want to be in it at the start of January, don't you?
Yeah,
and you want to do what you did with Tranmere. You want a game against Southampton or a Sunderland game.
Well, Everton away at Goodison Park. That was quite nice. Yeah, we'll talk about that with Sharp. You know what I mean? We'll give that one a minute.
Right, let's get back to the phone lines. Let's welcome Martin. Evening, Martin.
All right, lads. Can I just say, Sharpie, you looked petrified the other night too, and that's all.
I was freezing.
I'm not surprised. I was by Southport in the cab, mate. All door the door, shut the window, shut the heat, and I still get the draft up the unmentionables.
Tell me.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, I agree with what you say with this Roy Keane thing. Mm. If you haven't played for your club, which he hasn't, since what, August, the West Brom game, or was it Man City? Mm.
Man City,
he shouldn't have gone. And as for Roy Keane giving it large about Everton, well, I don't remember that hard Roy Keane ever turning up against Everton, because we had a few players who used to give him a good slack. Big Duncan, but, you know, Big Duncan, Rhino, Dave Watson, people like that. He must have been slapped about the head a little bit too much. If you haven't been picked for your club, I don't care what the FIFA rule says. They've got to give another rule where if you haven't played three consecutive games before the internationals, then the club can say, well, look, he's not. If he's fit but not quite match fit, that's a different thing. But if it's like James McCarthy, if it's like others, and you two both being managers, and I all don't know where I'm coming from, there's been times at Liverpool, with yourself as well, you haven't been fit. I know you want to go to your country, but who pays your wages at the end of the day? Because I'm sure Ireland can't compensate us for James McCarthy if he ends up with a career-threatening injury, because he plays him, he breaks down, and that's it.
Martin, it's common sense. It's common sense. You know, common sense between the two sets of, you know, physios or whatever. You just, if I was the Everton physio in St. John, and he's the Irish physio, listen, he hasn't played for 3 weeks. We're a little bit worried about him, blah, blah, blah. They've got to come to an agreement there. Surely to goodness, it's not going to do the player any good if he goes and he's not fit and he breaks down. It doesn't do Andy any good. So this FIFA ruling, again, listen, I can understand the people pulling players out because they've got a heavy schedule and they didn't want that. I can understand that. But when it comes to something like this, when the boy's been out for a long, long time, you know, there's no, why should he risk playing for his country when he hasn't risked himself playing for his club, who, as you said, pays wages?
It's a grey area, Martin, isn't it? It is a grey area. Ultimately, it'll come down to the player himself, but what'll happen, you know, Martin O'Neill have been on the phone to him saying, look, we're desperate for you. Because with all due respect to the team we've got now, Ireland, is we haven't got the team of players that we used to have at our disposal. And, you know, so McCarthy's quite imperative to what we need to go out and go to Austria and get results. So even though he's, like, 90% fit, you know, the manager would be desperate to get him on that pitch, which, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. But it will come down to McCarthy himself, you know, where he's gone anyway, so he wants to play.
No, he's back, isn't he? I don't think he's gone, is he?
No, he didn't go.
He didn't go.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I thought he was over there. Oh, well, there you go. That's a slant of it. Now, maybe Ronald Koeman's, you know, through his own, said, well, now we're not happy with that, you better sort yourself out because you won't get a place here if you start overruling me.
Well, I think Koeman is in a situation where if the player's fit, he'll let him go. You know, he's let other good players go away in international duty, but he's basically saying this guy ain't fit, you know, fit enough to play in international football, so we don't think he should go. That is basically what it boils down to. He's not stopped every other international, and nobody else is having these problems. I'm sure, for instance, if Lukaku was in the same situation, he'd have the same argument with Belgium. You know, it's not just and Roy Keane tried to say it was an Everton and Irish thing. It's nothing to do with Everton and Ireland. And Everton have been very good with the players that they've had throughout the years, kind of thing. So it's nothing about a war between Everton and Ireland.
I totally agree. And this is where I can't understand, you know, Roy Keane's attitude towards it. He, as you say, he's been a club manager. I think his last game as a club manager, we tonked him 7-1 at Goodison when he was manager of Sunderland and the Akron riot that day. But at the end of the day, although I'm Irish, mate, so I want Ireland to do well.
Yeah.
You're saying a bit as Irish as what Aldo does.
We know, Mark, don't we? We know, mate.
Yeah, the thing is,
but you know, Mark, you know the way you've been watching for years and seeing reaction of players. You know what Roy's like. You know, sometimes it's like putting a match to a kind of person. He once he goes, you know, and that's what's happened in that, you know, in that press conference.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he needs to engage brain before opening mouth. But at the end of the day, is there any point having a James McCarthy? I know he's not there now. He's probably about, what, you know better than me, Sharpie, would you say about 60% fit at the minute, if that?
Yeah.
Is there any... I what's the point? As a manager, you, as a club... Forget, and it's as a manager, full stop. You wouldn't put a player on the pitch who's only 60% fit.
No.
Because it's not... You're ending up carrying him. You know, you're down to 10 men.
And again, he could do himself in, you know, for a longer period of time, Martin, you know.
Yeah. So, to me, I'd rather have maybe a lad who isn't quite up to standard, like them. Has he called up three Dunsork lads?
Yeah, he has. I saw that, yeah.
Well, fair play, they've earned it. They're flying, and I know it's the same level, but that those lads have earned a chance to play at that level, and they're fully fit. So why not give them a chance? It's not like we're playing Spain or Brazil or something. With all due respect to Austria, we're as good as them.
Top points, Martin. Thank you very much indeed. Have a good night. Spoke a lot of sense, didn't he? Leads us on to the international scene as well. Mentioned Scotland a few times there. So as a staunch Scot, you'll be looking forward to this game at Wembley tomorrow night.
No.
And no, it's hardly ideal having a Republic of Ireland man and Scotland man in here tonight.
I'd look forward to the game, but you know, Sharpie's a little bit intimidated. He thinks England's going to run right. Well, I don't think they will. I think England will win, but I think it'll be pretty tight, you know, because England aren't the best. They showed that last game they played. They struggled the last couple of games, haven't they, really?
Yeah, but I just think Scotland are poor. And you know, Gordon Strachan under a little bit of pressure, talking about this could be his last game. I don't know. Listen, who do you get in? Who do you bring in to help or to move it on? It's a really difficult one, but I think there's a real lack of quality in Scotland in the squad as well. And I had to do something this week about naming, you know, the best Scottish team for over the last few years.
Oh, well, hang on then. Because we'll take a break and we'll come back to that.
There wasn't one modern-day player in it.
All right, well, you can give us some names in a moment or two. It's the Radio City Legends, 3 minutes past seven. I'm going to take loads of your calls next. 0151 472 0967.
Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6 minutes past 7 o'clock. Back to your calls in just a moment or two. We'll do look who's scoring as well. But we've been having a quiz in the break. Sharpie's been quizzing Aldo because basically Sharpie got asked the other day to write down his best ever Scotland 11. So John, who apparently has a love of Scottish football, has guessed 10 of the 11.
Well, Liverpool, we've bred from having great Scottish players, Liverpool, sadly bringing us to our best. So yeah.
Go on, give us the 11 Celtic. That Sharpie that you guessed.
I got most of them. I got Gorham in goal, Anson,
McNeil is the centre-backs.
Billy Bremner, Souness, Kenny Dalglish, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Law, Dave Mackay. What a midfield. Dave Mackay, Souness, Bremner. Oh, dear me.
Are you not coming out of there alive?
The oldest midfield of all time, by the way. The one I was struggling on is left back. Put me out in misery.
John Greg.
Yeah.
We had to do it, and I was just saying
great
before...
You
mentioned it, you know, about that Scotland-England this tomorrow, and we had to do this for a game kind of thing, and Peter Reid had picked his best England team. And I was just saying that both our teams didn't have any present-day players or most recent players. And that just, to me, certainly from Scotland's case, Scotland are really off it. And that's why I think England will win comfortably tomorrow.
It's like going back, you know, especially Scottish football and Irish football, Republic of Ireland, the grassroots has been terrible, murdered for the last 20 odd years, you know. Thus, you see the players now, you know, all the top teams. And I know, you know, obviously because teams and managers want instant success and they're going here, there and everything, all the big players all over the world, it's nullified. Them getting them chance, but you look at it, you know, the two teams now that, and it's just ridiculous compared to the ones we were talking about, the teams that we've had in the past,
the great ones of the 80s. Yeah. We're getting to Kevin Melling in just a second. I've got a graph here in the Times which indicates, and it shows the slow decline of Scottish players into the Premier League. Yeah. So back in 1992, there was 40. And there's a consistent theme in it, and basically it gets to present day, and there's 17 Scottish players in the Premier League. It's not just an erratic graph; it shows they don't breed them like they used to in the 80s. Absolutely. Let's get to Kev, who's in Melling. Sorry to keep you waiting, Kev.
That's all right, boys. But you just stole my question. That was what I was actually ringing about. Why, you know, do they not now look at Scottish football? You know, like as I said, in the 70s and 80s, and that there's some of the greatest players. Where from Scotland, you know, Dal Gleeson, you name them, James Sharp, another one there. But why? That was my question. I couldn't believe you were talking about it. You know, what's gone wrong with Scottish football game?
Kev, you could see. Listen, we've been scratching our heads for a long, long time, and I don't know if I'm right here, but I just think that sometimes they've taken the joy out of playing football as kids, and there's so much to do now. I remember growing up in Glasgow. And all we wanted to do was play football. And then we went to play, you know, league football for an amateur team. But the amateur leagues were so strong, and a bit the same as in Liverpool as well. Really good amateur setup. So as a young boy, you had a progression to go through, and you need the next step. Then you went into fully organised. We had the Glasgow Amateur League, and we had, Andy Gray played for Drumchapel Amateurs, Alec Ferguson was involved in Harmony Row, Issa Craig was a big team, Celtic Boys Club, and you got your ground in there, but now that's taken away from you, because this was from, an under-11s, 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s. Now with the academy system and everything else, I think the amateur game has actually died in Scotland. I think you'd probably say the same for Liverpool and parts of England as well. But certainly from Scotland, having a really, really strong amateur base with really good organised teams, I don't think that happens now. And I just think kids are getting lost to football and they go elsewhere and do different things. Whereas in our day, you know, it was a bit of pride to be associated with an amateur club. I don't think they've got that now.
Well, the number of players in the Premiership now, I mean, the only one that came down, Stephen Naismith, and he does, Scottish players always do great, you know, in England, and as I say, I just don't know why they don't look up there anymore, but as I say, the number of players nowadays is just abysmal, you know.
Kevin, I don't know if you've seen Scottish football on the television, but you watch it, mate, and honestly, and I hate saying this, but the standard is really poor, and you look at it and you think, there's one kid at the moment who I think's got a really good chance, and he's at Celtic, and he's a boy, Tierney, at left back, a really, really good player, up and down the field, needs to fill out a little bit, but when you look at the rest, and I don't see it week in, week out, so I'm not the best judge, but from what I've seen, there's not an awful lot of talent up there, you know, that the big boys in England would be wanting to take on board. The little boy Burke has gone and signed for Leipzig, you know, kind of thing. So I think the best opportunity is to go abroad. You know, if they show any decent talent, go to Holland or somewhere else and learn the game there, and then they might get a move. But I think it's very difficult now picking a player from the Scottish Premier League that's going to come from there and immediately make an impact or immediately settle down in England. I just think the standard's too wide now.
Mark Warburton was talking about this, the Rangers manager, and he said the Premier League is destroying Scottish football because the players that are good in Scotland go to the English lower leagues because they can't get into the Premier League. Yeah. It leaves the Scottish leagues with very poor talent in them, and then they end up in the English lower leagues and they don't progress in the way that they used to the top level. So that's what he said about it all.
It just seems when they open the door to the foreign leagues, that Scotland then just got left behind, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame because, as I say, there should be some absolutely fantastic players to come out of Scotland. Mm. And it's just a shame now that
You don't see it no more.
Brilliant points, Kev. Thank you very much indeed. Just to finish that quote here that I've got from Paddy Creran, who says, what's happening to the kids in England? I'm talking about these kids. I look at them, talented kids, and I think they've been overcoached. Individuality is coached out of them. It's about passing and moving. What happened to the days of great wingers taking people on, dribbling past them? Mm-hmm. I always felt Scottish players had more individuality. I don't see that anymore.
I had people over recently and from abroad, and we're watching coaching sessions. And that's a big thing now. And they had the kids warming up and doing all these things with the ball. And the boy turned around to me and said, "Did you do that when you were growing up?" And I looked at him and went, "No." That was the furthest thing. I said, "I got a ball and I kicked it against the wall, and I kicked it against the bar or something, and it came off at different angles, and you learnt how to control it and everything else." I said, "If you asked me to do a lollipop skills, or something like that," I says, no. I said, "Not at all." I said, "You learnt the trade in the public park or in amateur leagues and everything else, not by all the coaches." And it's true, I don't know if John will be the same. I wasn't coached until I was about 18.
Yeah, same.
19.
Yeah, same. Coach myself,
just in your blood.
Get against the wall, just knock the ball up against the wall with your head or with your foot, control it all the time. Used to drive people crazy, you know, right by our house. And but that's the way it was.
You were born with it, you two. It was instilled within you.
But there was nothing. All we had in our damn days, love football. Football ended. Love cricket. Yeah. Or rugby was involved. That's all you're at. There's too many distractions this day and age as well for the kids. Some kids don't even probably know how good they are at football because they're on the PlayStation 7 days a week.
Right, let's get back to the phone line. So we've got your biggest fan on next, John. Okay. It's Bob, who's in Old Swan. Evening to you, Bob.
Hello there, Steve. You all right?
Very good.
Bob.
All right, John. Heighton, you know, Steve, don't forget.
Bob and Heighton. Bob the Con from Old Swan.
That's the one. Don't tell you. I've met Aldo a few times. He won't remember, though.
Go on then, Bob, lad.
All right, John. I just want to touch on when you said the other night, on Monday, was it, about what do you think about the 87, 89, when you were there? About that certain teams or whatever it is today?
Yeah.
Is it on a par, do you think? I
don't know. Long ways. To be on a par, we could defend as well, you know. We could get clean sheets. Yeah. But no, what I was saying is the fact that going forward in the manner which we've been going scoring goals this year, you know, it's very, very similar in many ways to me, Barnsley, Peter Beasley and Ray Houghton. The movement and the passing movement what we had. Mm. And then we had the two lads in behind us, whether it be Jan or Steve McMahon or Ronnie Whelan, two of them three. Yeah. You know,
I've seen all them games now. I'm in the armchair now, John.
Yeah, but all we did was pass and move, and you know, we cross over and all that. Now, what these are doing now is as like that as anything I've seen before. We're very, very similar in many, many ways. But what we had was, in them days, the old days, we always had a goal scorer. You'd look to get like 20, 25, 30 goals, whatever it was. I was the out-and-out goal scorer. These aren't that way because they're all, you know, they're intermingling and they're moving off each other. And they're all scoring, which is... We were all scoring, but predominantly I was the one who was the spearhead of the quartet. I think the balance is as good. I have to say, it's as good. What I've seen this year, what they've been doing, it's quite remarkable what the manager's done with them over a period of 12 months. Mm.
What do you think of Alana then in the central?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been on his case, Bob. I really have, because he's been so disappointing. You know, because when he came to the club, we knew the ability the lad had. And for some reason, he no consistency. Now and again, you'd see flair of him. But this year, he's been tremendous, absolutely tremendous, He's been the linchpin, and one of the reasons why, you know, everyone's been scoring and creating at the front four lads, and he's been brilliant. Yeah, he's been brilliant, fair play to him,
He's rejuvenated, right, isn't he?
Just one more thing before I go.
Yeah, go on.
Ask Sharpie, who had the best pairing in, or Phil Thompson?
Phil Thompson, mine was a demi weave.
I haven't heard that for years, Bob. A demi wave. I love it, Sharpie.
What's that? Bob, thanks very much indeed, pal.
Do you remember that? Demi wave. The women used to get demi waves, didn't they? Demi wave.
Did you go in and ask for a demi wave or a curve?
Yeah, demi wave.
Someone did your wife tell you what you had to
ask for? No, she hated it.
Did she?
I didn't want a right. I didn't want a Terry McDermott really curly one. So it was a demi wave.
Right, let's see if our next caller has ever had a perm. It's John who's in Chilwell. Evening, John.
Hello, guys. How are we?
John,
ever,
hi,
ever,
mate.
Ever had a perm, John?
I wish I was here to perm.
Good answer.
Before I get on to Graham, have you ever played in the England-Scotland game?
No, I never. And I was I was gutted. I was down to play, make one of my first games. And I was called back because Everton were involved in end-of-season game. We'd won the league and we had to play Coventry. And another team who were involved in relegation scrap complained that Everton needed to field the strongest side. So I was down to play against England at Hampden. The game ended 1-0 and Richard Goff scored.
Was that the Nations?
I don't know. I think it might have been Aldo, but I was gutted. I had the opportunity once and it was taken away from me and I had to play at Coventry the following day and we got battered 4-1.
No, I'm just, and I mean this with the greatest respect, because tomorrow's game has been rightly overshadowed by, you know, what's going on with the remembrance, the poppy. Mm. But, you know, when you actually get round to the game, and I'm going back like to the 70s, the 80s, and it was a top fixture England.
Yeah, it was.
And it was one of those games where you look forward to. I mean, as I say, you said there, like when you finished playing 20-odd years ago, you gutted you never played in one. Mm. Because it was, you know, like, I know it was only like on the British scene, but it was part of the sporting calendar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, England would go up to the
Hampden.
And then the Joshy comes out.
But, hey, by the way, I tell you what, when the Joshy, I remember watching a couple of games at Wembley, there was about 10,000 England fans and 90,000, I'm not exaggerating, 90,000 Scottish fans. They didn't turn out to watch England. They just took over. You go back and watch it, it's unbelievable.
They used to have, and this is true, they used to have a collection in the kitty for their Wembley money every 2 years in advance, and they'd pay, and they'd go down for
a weekend. Took over the place, big time.
Well, it's like where people like go to Raskets only for the old lady. We'll throw a tenner a week if I go down to that. Well, that's what the Jocks used to do with Scotland. Yeah. And it was every 2 years. It was every 2 years. It was biannual, you know what I mean? Mm. And when you looked at it, I think we'll put the top hat on it. Remember when they all went on the pitch because they swamped it, didn't they? You know, they said they used to just.
Did you say on the pitch?
Yeah. They used to go down on the Friday, didn't they? They'd all be down there, Friday down the West End, then go up to the Wembley, watch the game, and then be down in London, say, the Friday night. They'd all have their own bleary eyes on the Monday. But I was talking to a mate before, and he went, you know, when you think about it, I mean, this is how far the fixtures declined. You know, the managers, and with the greatest respect, if they were managing a championship game at the weekend, it wouldn't look out of place, would they?
No.
John?
They wouldn't, you know, and like, I think that's how far the fixtures fell, because I used to love watching this.
We
all did.
Yeah.
So it was a tough sporting event. And just one other thing.
Go on, make it quick, John.
All right, you know why players at Scotland suffering? It's because kids now in Scotland, when they're 12, 13, they're getting sent down to the English academies and doing the school in here. And there's nothing going through up in Scotland.
That's what we were talking about just before, John. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers,
some good
John.
Points there. 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. Just to finish on, so you're more than aware that Donald Trump won the US election. But the knock-on effect of this is that America and Mexico were meant to be thinking about doing a joint 2026 World Cup. So a reunion back to one of your famous moments, of course, John, a Mexico. World Cup in the US. But, of course, this could have absolutely scuppered it because of Donald Trump's views on Mexico. So a big piece today in one of the papers saying that...
But they play this weekend, don't they?
Tomorrow. They play each other tomorrow.
Yeah, Mexico tomorrow.
Goodness me. He's talked about building a wall between them and they're playing a football match against each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe it?
Watch the space. I wonder if he can sort out the MLF.
MLF? What's that?
What's the American?
Oh, MLS.
MLS, sorry. MLS football.
What's the MLF? What have you been watching?
I thought it meant football at the end, not soccer, isn't it?
Yeah. Ah, right, okay.